This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. It's Sean and RJ, Bobby Belt out sick here on your home of America's team, where yesterday you got all the coverage of the Zach Martin retirement press conference. And I think the highlight was from our next guest. First, this is Zach. Bradsham asked Jerry Jones, are you going to put him into the Ring of Honor before the Hall of Fame? We're going to play this waiting game again. And Jerry laughed and said, yes, he's going to go into the Ring of Honor beforehand. And Zach was asked what that type of achievement would feel like.
They would mean a great deal, right? You try not, again, like when I came into the league, none of that stuff was ever on my radar. Like I was just trying to get here and make sure I didn't screw it up. You know, they drafted me to go in there and play right away. So my focus was on, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can for the team. And then obviously started having some success. And, you know, those things get brought up and you start thinking about them a little bit. And, you know, absolutely, it would be a great honor one day if those happen.
Voice of America's team, Bradsham, joining us now live on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I like the aggression there, Brad. I like the strategy. Very well done.
You know, I just remembered, as I told you yesterday, Sean, when he had the first press conference with Jimmy Johnson, that the subject was discussed, and he was on TV, he said, yes, he's going in the Ring of Honor. And nobody asked him when. And then a few years went by, and people said, well, wait, he lied. He didn't lie. But he just never said when it was going to happen. So now we've got him on the record. I just think that's a really important thing. He does too, by the way. That's why he put Gil Brandt in when he put him in, because he wanted to make sure that that it helped Gil's Hall of Fame chances. And that's why I think we'll probably see Jason Witten go in this year before the Hall of Fame vote. It's just important when those Hall of Fame voters get around to it. And I don't think there's any question about Zach Martin going in, but he really ought to be a first ballot guy, and I think that'll help him.
So you really think it plays a big role in that Hall of Fame room?
If they're, I think, in their, it's own, a role, RJ. I don't know if I'd say, I don't know how big, and I think how big depends on what the guy's credentials are and maybe who the presenter is. There have been times that a guy's credentials have been so good. I've been told, I mean, obviously I'm not one, so I don't know, but I've been told sometimes, like I think it was with either Jerry Rice or John Elway, whoever the presenter was, just got up and said, yeah, Jerry Rice, and that was it. And with Zach, I mean, I don't think you have to do anything more than say, you know, he played 11 years, went to 10 Pro Bowls, was All-Pro 9 times and had 7 holding penalties, and yep, then just sit out. And I think that's all you have to do. But I do think that it helps that sometimes those voters, depending on who the other candidates are, they look at little things to determine why would a guy get in one year and not another year, and does his team have something like a Ring of Honor, and is he in it? And if he's not, well, what does that mean? So let's just remove all doubt.
Jerry says that it's now an argument with Zach versus Larry Allen. He's basically Larry Allen's twin. How do you recap the career of Zach Martin?
Well, it was brilliant. I think that Larry was more athletic. I don't think Zach would argue with me. Don't forget, Larry played every position but center. And like Cornell Green, he was all pro at more than one. So now that's, Zach probably could have. In fact, he used to get irritated with me the first couple of years that he was in the league, because remember, he was a tackle at Notre Dame, and there was a little uncertainty for a year or two when he first came in about whether he might help them more at tackle, and he used to get annoyed when I'd ask him privately or publicly, "Are you thinking about moving a tackle?" "No, I'm not moving a tackle." But he could have. But I think Larry was a little more athletic and did play multiple positions. But, you know, we all suffer from recency bias, and so there have been a time or two in the last couple of years when, as the years have taken their toll, he might not have been quite as consistent as he was 3 or 4 years ago. But I don't think there's any shame in being second to Larry Allen. And I would say Kevin Sherrington, I think, asked me this. Somebody asked me this a couple of weeks ago about where I would put him on the team's offensive line list. And I said I think I'd put him behind Larry and Eric Williams probably third. And if Eric Williams had not been in that car wreck in the early 90s, he'd have been a surefire Hall of Famer. But that's how good he was. But, again, there's no shame in being second to Larry Allen at anything. So we all know that Jerry embraces hyperbole from time to time. But I don't think he was too far off in comparing him to Larry Allen.
Brad Sham here on 105.3 The Fan. And what about the man? What about the teammate? What about the guy behind the scenes?
So that's, of course, the best part. There's a lot of great players. And, in fact, I'll tell you, I remember one time near the end of Larry's career at a practice. It was a regular season. I don't know what the hell we were all doing out there, but I remember Troy Aikman, and he might deny it because he might not want to say it publicly, but I remember Troy trying to get Larry to be more aggressive as a leader. Troy knew that he was at the end of his time, and he believed that Larry was so great that he could literally own the locker room, and that just wasn't Larry's personality. It's Zach's. He doesn't want to own it. Zach understands who Dak Prescott is and, you know, who Sean Lee was and everybody knows who the alphas are. But the great thing about that is when you're one of those guys, you never have to say it.
Yeah.
And as he progressed and got better, then you'd grow into that stuff. You don't walk in the door being like that. As he said, he walked into a room and it was a pretty good room. And then he had to kind of fit in with it, and then suddenly they're fitting in with him. I don't know that he had more physical ability, although we're doing apples and oranges here, than Tyron Smith, but that wasn't Tyron's personality. But Zach fit that leadership role naturally. I don't know how good Terrence Steele is or will be, but I do know that about 3 years ago, when did he come in? 2000 in the COVID year? Yeah, maybe about 3 years ago. He started off a season with Steele, I'm talking about, with a tough game, several penalties. And I came in the locker room after the game, and I saw Zach kind of lifting Steele up emotionally. Don't get down. You can do this. And that he was that kind of guy, superb character, and you couldn't draw up a better one.
Brad, do you go into the draft looking to replace Zach in the first round, or are you strictly like a best player?
I'm strictly a best player. It's hard to say the beauty of it.
Do you manipulate your board then?
No, don't forget, he really didn't help him much last year.
Right.
He was struggling before he had to go out. He was already playing hurt, and then they missed him half the year. So they know what it's like to play without him. They've had plenty of time to evaluate Beebe and Hoffman, and you know nobody's talking about Bass anymore, but everybody was in love with him a year or two ago. I'm strictly, RJ, a best player guy, except at 12, I don't see a quarterback in this draft who, if he fell to 12, that I would take. And I don't think, although there are some really exceptional tight ends, I don't think I'd take one of those guys at 12. After that, they just need so much. If there's a guy who is going to be a Pro Bowl player, this is what I want out of the draft. I want a Pro Bowl player in one of the first two rounds, and the other round, I want a walk-in starter, solid guy from day one, and I don't care if it's offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker, wide receiver, or cornerback. And those positions, then what you do is you put those things up on the board, and then you say, okay, what we don't get on Thursday, what can we approximate on Friday? And then, to a degree, Saturday, although without a fourth, you're a little bit hamstrung. But that's why I'm not necessarily in favor of a running back at 12. And I love Ashton Jeanty. I've watched him a lot. And there are others who are obviously really good. But I am fairly confident there's going to be a really good running back in the third round. And those other positions, they are desperate at. So I'm going to let at 12, I'm going to kind of let the board dictate things to me. And then don't forget those trades that pop up at the end. You know, they traded down to get to Parsons, and sometimes a CD Lamb falls to you. So some of it you have to just let happen. But I'm a best player guy because they have so many needs.
Brad Sham, voice of America's team on 105.3 The Fan. So they're freeing up all this money now, flipping the CD and Dak Prescott switches. Jerry yesterday says, after Steven said selectively aggressive, Jerry said, I don't think aggressive is the right word. I'm not looking at free agency as a place to fill voids. What do you think they're going to do with all this money?
Something that they are not willing to say right now. Here's my key. From the day they hired Brian Schottenheimer, they started saying things that were completely different from a year ago. And exhibit A for me is Odighizuwa, who I was told by an executive fairly highly placed, like in October, yeah, it's a shame we're not going to be able to have him. We won't be able to afford him. And then the season played out, and I really believe, and if you go back and look at what Stephen Jones has said publicly, especially Stephen, they realized that they made a mistake with the way they approached last off season in terms of veteran free agency. You know, they did what they thought was right in a negotiating tactic with Prescott and Lamb, but they know that they missed an opportunity to keep some guys who left or get some other guys because they didn't get the money to move around early enough. So now they have, and they said they would. And Steven has said they'd be more aggressive in free agency, which hasn't even started yet. And so we'll see. But the signing of Odighizuwa and what they've done with Lamb and Prescott's contracts just in the first week and some of the other guys they're talking to, that gives me hope that they understand that they approached it wrong. So there are still some guys on their roster that they're going to have to fight for. I was led to believe before Schottenheimer was hired even, that Anger and Sig would go with Fossil. And they want to keep both of them. And they ought to want to keep both of them. And, you know, they're going to have to keep an eye on Aubrey's money because he's eligible for free agency after this year. And I guess they've put a second-round tender on Turpin, but that's a guy that they might. So there's all those kinds of things. I don't know, do they want Kendricks? And if they don't have him, then that really raises linebacker either in free agency or the draft. And you've really got Diggs isn't going to be very much help this year. So there's all kinds of things to do with that money. I would start with well, I'd start with Parsons. It sounds like they really do want to get something done, although they know they've got him and a little more cap room than they did last year. And then you go to the other 21 guys who, after Odighizuwa, who are free agents and are on the market. How much do I want to keep them? And, you know, this is such a little thing to some people, but they're signing Goodwin is an indication to me that they are serious about what they're saying, because that would be a guy who could 100% have gone with Fossil as soon as free agency started, and he is the kind of guy who is the heartbeat and brains of your special teams, especially when you've lost the guy who's been your special teams coach. So that's a little positive indicator to me. So you start with their free agents who they've who they would stand to lose, who's important to them, and then you see what the market throws out there. We've already seen a couple of guys on other teams get cut. You know, the Chiefs trading Thuney to the Bears, basically because they're freeing cap space. And these next few days before, I guess, what is it, Tuesday that free agency starts? These next few days when teams start cutting guys to make space, there'll be people pop up who the public is not talking about yet. So we see who those people are, and then we'll have a little better idea of what they're going to do with that money.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for the Zach recap and offseason preview. Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys on 105.3 The Fan, how we just got named the soccer headquarters for the entire world, and how are the tariffs going to hurt hockey? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.